the rest of the story. You only thought you knew Princess Caroline. Maybe not. Not even tabloid headlines could denigrate spoiled royalty to the extent that she was to disgrace herself. As a teenager, she kept royal chaperones constantly occupied, for she was likely to engage in suggestive conversation with young men under any circumstances, private or public. A cheap doll, one writer called her. Her wedding was a joke the groom had to get falling down drunk to endure it. And it in no way interfered with Caroline's pursuit of her own personal pleasure. Every once in a while, she would travel incognito, presumably to conceal indecent behavior. And yet eventually, she seems to have decided that the world needed shocking. She threw one wild party after another. She delighted in pretending to be pregnant, and nobody could be certain if or when it was an act. She consorted with a legion of gigolos, the most notorious among them, one Bartolomeo Pergami. Her widely publicized travels abroad created a succession of scandals. In Rome, she flirted with the Pope. She flirted with the Pope. In Baden, she wore half a pumpkin on her head, explaining to the curious that it was cool. She rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And attending major society affairs in Geneva, in Athens, in Naples, Princess Caroline went topless. And despite, perhaps partly because of all you've just heard and more, she was a popular heroine, utterly, unabashedly beloved by the people of her country 200 years ago. In the waning 18th century, England's Prince of Wales was the victim of an ill-arranged marriage to the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of Brunswick, a rebellious, mercurial creature named Caroline. A great deal of the prince's time was thereafter devoted to seeking a divorce. And although not for that purpose, the princess provided more than sufficient grounds for divorce. And when the prince at last succeeded to the throne, becoming George the Fourth, that's right, King George the Fourth, Caroline's misconduct became an issue before the Parliament. Never before nor since was there such a thorough and public disclosure of British royal mischief, and that's the nicest word I know for some of the things she did. And still, after a long procession of international witnesses and an avalanche of condemning testimony, Parliament refused to act on the matter. But fate would do so on their behalf. Not even a month after the coronation of her husband, King George, the coronation at which she was to have received her own queen's crown, the coronation to which she was denied access by the king himself. Less than 1 month afterward, nobody is sure from what she fell ill and died. But certainly not before Caroline had secured for herself a most unique place in Britain's history. Not only was she the only Queen of England upon whose sex life Parliament ever voted, but more than that, Caroline was the only monarch ever prohibited from attending her own coronation. Now you know the rest of the story.